Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I just want to use for a subject, carrying out the purpose of the church. Carrying out the purpose of the church. There are many responses to the events that transpire daily. Yet you and I are asking the question, what is the church's response? More specifically, we might be asking ourselves, what is the response of Churches of Christ as it relates to the events of our day? Even more personally, how does Greenville Avenue Church of Christ respond to the environment and the situations that we find ourselves? Too often we are left with a feeling of ineptness and ambiguity as to really what we should do. Jesus does not leave us with pensiveness nor vagueness. There is a definite purpose, and there is a definite place for the church in times like these. It is our responsibility to carry out this plan and to carry out this purpose for which the church was brought into existence. I believe our text today clearly defines the position and the purpose of the church. When understood, we find that truly we are blessed people and we are a privileged people. My lesson will follow verse 23. I will speak concerning which is his body. That will be the first point. Secondly, the fullness of him. And then thirdly, that which filleth all in all. So to follow me, we will be speaking to what is meant by which is his body. Verse 22, the Bible says, and hath given him to be the head, talking about Christ, God giving him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So as we discuss the body, we know that the body is the church. For the Bible says that he has been given head over all things to the church, which is his body. So when you think in terms of his body, you have to think in terms of the picture of the human body. This is what the Lord wants, or Paul wants us to gain, and that is, what is the relationship between Christ and his church? It is that of a human body. Christ serves as the head, and the church serves as his body. We are his hands and we are his feet. We are the instrument by which the Lord carries out his will. When you think in terms of the church being the body, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. When you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30, the Bible says we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Going back to the idea of Adam and Eve, relationship, though he is talking about the marriage relationship in chapter 5 and verse number 30, is still the anatomy of the human body. For when God made Adam, it was God who put Adam to sleep and took a rib from his body and formed and made woman. And the Bible says that after he made the woman, he presented her to Adam. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. When we think in terms of Christ and the church, Not only must we think of it in terms of a human body, the anatomy of a head and a body, but it's also that of a relationship between a husband and a wife. And that is the idea that a man is made complete through his wife, or a husband is made complete through his wife. And they twain become one flesh, or they twain become one body. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, wants us to understand that the relationship between he and the church is like that of a human body. I would never want to see a head without a body. I don't ever want to see a body without a head, because they must be united and connected in order for one to have the full picture of the human anatomy. The same way with Christ, you and I must see that we are the body of Christ. We are the spiritual body. Let me say this now. We are the spiritual body, but we are also the human body of Christ. May I say that again? We are the human body of Christ. Now, when you think in terms of the church, notice now that the Bible simply teaches that the churches of Christ, Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. For the churches of Christ, the bodies of Christ, salute you. So the idea is that in order for Christ to be complete, he must have his complement, which is his body. He must have that which makes him perfect. In other words, he is imperfect until he has his body. Now, let's look at the fullness of him. I understand that the human anatomy, the body and the head, I understand that. But what about the fullness of him? This is another way of emphasizing the body of Christ, or the church of Christ. Fullness of him. That word fullness comes from a word which means the total sum of something. It is the totality of something. When you think in terms of fullness, you think in terms of that which fills up, or that which is full. Here he is simply saying that the church is the fullness of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So whatever the body is to Christ, so is the fullness to Christ. And whatever the body is, so is the fullness, because they go together. But what does he really want us to understand when he says that the church is the fullness of him, or the fullness of Christ? Well, when you think in terms of another passage that helps illustrate fullness, we go to Colossians 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, for in him, this is talking about Christ and his relationship to his heavenly Father, for in him dwelleth, talking about Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Watch this, bodily. Everything that God is, the totality of God, is found in Christ bodily. He is as much God on earth as he was before he came to this earth. He is God totally, which means that you cannot reject the Christ, the historical Christ, and accept the eternal God. I'm going to say that again. You cannot accept the eternal God without accepting the historical Christ. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Gibbs? I'm simply telling you is that Christ came into history. God came into history, and he took on him a body. He took on him a human body. God is bodily in Christ. He is 100% God and he's 100% man. Any man who wants to be saved, if you reject the historical Christ, you cannot have fellowship with the eternal God. Now, that's exactly what that means. Well, why, Brother Gibbs? Because Christ is the fullness. Christ is the totality of God who is in heaven. Well, since I understand that, when he says that the church is the fullness of Christ, here's the way that goes. That means that you cannot have Christ without the church. If you want to have fellowship with Christ, if you want to be saved by Christ, you have to be part of the church of Christ. Amen, walls. Amen, lights. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amen, but it's the truth. There are a lot of people who say, well, Brother Gibbs, I will accept Christ. If you accept Christ, you've got to accept the church of Christ. Why, Brother Gibbs? Because the church of Christ is the fullness. It is the totality of Jesus Christ himself. I know that you say, well, Brother Gibbs, look at all of our imperfections. It matters not about our imperfections. I'm telling you that God decided that in order for him to be revealed on this earth, he has to come through the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. Amen, 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 amen. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you help me with this idea of fullness? Yeah. You know, when the Bible said the fullness of time, you know, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman. He's talking about when the time was total up, when the time was complete, he sent forth his son. Same way as when a woman is pregnant, she's pregnant usually for 9 months. When 9 months is up, when she fulfills and the fullness of time, she gives a son. That's exactly what that idea of fullness means. You and I cannot have a relationship with the Lord outside of the church and the fellowship of the church. And I want you to understand, well, another way to illustrate that is look at Jesus when he makes the point that I am the true vine and my father's the husbandman. John 15, verse number 1. But he comes back in verse number 5. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now what is he saying? He said, I'm the vine, but I'm not complete until I have branches. I can't produce fruit without branches. And so what he is simply saying to every disciple is that you are a branch in the vine. I'm the life-giving substance. When you take that analogy, you go back to the body, Christ is the head. But you and I are the body and members in particular. But Christ is not complete until he has his body. Christ is not complete. Christ is not perfect without the church. Another way of putting it, a shepherd is not a shepherd unless he has sheep. No sheep, no shepherd. Amen. That's the way it is. And so the idea is that the church is the fullness. It is that which completes Jesus Christ. And so you and I must understand this. And I think that understanding how that you and I actually become the fullness. Now, my last point is this. That which filleth all in all. We are the body of Christ. We are the fullness of Christ. But watch this. That which filleth all in all simply means, number one, that you and I are the instruments through which the fullness of Christ is all in all. Christ is not complete without the body. When he was on earth, he used his own hands to touch people. He used his own feet to go from one city to another city. But now that he is in heaven, he does not touch anybody. He does not go anywhere unless he does it through his body. If I'm going to touch somebody in Richardson, I will not come down from heaven and touch them. I work through my body, which means that some member of the body of Christ must touch, must go. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. We have to understand that we are the instruments. Not only do we fill up Christ, but it's the only way Christ will literally be able to go into this world and fulfill the mission, the goal that he set for the church. Well, as I close, you're going to get out early this morning. You might get out before morning. I mean, before evening, afternoon. No, I doubt that. Okay, but anyway. You won't have a 15 minute. I doubt that. I'm serious. I doubt that. Okay. But I am wrapping up. All right. Now, since we're the instrument, Brother Gibbs, through which the Lord fills all in all, then can you help me? What is it that we must be about? Number one, I want you to understand in Acts 1:8, put that on the screen, and then briefly we'll go through this and I'll close. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Now that you have the idea of what the body is and the fullness of it, Christ being in heaven, and he will not do anything unless he works through his body. Watch what he says. This is Jesus before he went back to heaven. He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost part of the earth. This is where the Great Commission comes into play. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Why? Because you're the instrument by which I now impact the world. I need you to go to 1 Thessalonians. Go with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 5. I want to show you an actual church that carries out the mission of Christ. This is Paul talking to the brethren and the church at Thessalonica. Listen what he says. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know the manner of men that we were among you for your sake. He said, now this gospel that came unto you, he said, I want you to know that you have much assurance that it came from God. And ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Not ours, but for your sake. Watch verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. What, as an instrument of Christ, as the church is an instrument of Christ, what is it that you and I should do? We have become followers. As the apostles were followers of Christ the Lord, you and I, as a church, must be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't follow government. We obey government, but we follow the Lord. Now, I wish I had time to break down the Lord. The Lord means your master. He's your owner. Amen. But I don't want to get sidetracked. Having received the word in much affliction, when you accept and become a follower of Christ and you receive the word of God, many times you will have to receive it with much affliction, persecution. In other words, the world is not going to always be that supportive. You're not receiving a lot in a supportive environment. But you have to receive it because you know the power of it that has come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7. Watch this now. That ye were examples to all that believe. So not only must we, through by being instruments through which Christ is going and impacting the world, and I'm talking about all of the world, and sharing everything, we must be, number one, we must be followers. But number two, we must be examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So, followers of him, examples of him. Watch the next verse. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, But in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything of you. Watch the word sound it out. Sound it out carries the idea of an alarm. Have you ever had an alarm go off for a tornado warning? And you can hear it all over. That's because it's loud enough. It's an alarm. It's a blast. He says, from you, blasted out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. The church cannot be a silent partner. The church cannot be someone who is afraid to speak out the word of Almighty God. There is no other place that God will be heard unless it comes from the church. And you and I have to be willing to sound it out and tell the world that we believe. We're followers and we're examples of Jesus Christ. Watch verse number 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had under you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. I want one more passage of scripture. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18. And remember now, three scriptures that I'm giving you. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. That is your witnesses. You are to go into all of the world. I also gave you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And now I want you to understand that verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. Watch this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What has he given to the church? What is the church to do? It is to take on the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation simply means to make friendly again. It involves forgiveness to estranged people, to people who have become enemies. Reconciliation is about mending those fences, making sure that these individuals come back together. And that's a ministry. And that's what he's given the church. The church is responsible for the ministry of reconciliation. That's why God sent Jesus Christ from heaven. He sent him from heaven that he might reconcile men back to God. He did that through his life, through his sacrifice, through the shedding of his blood. It's all about a ministry of reconciliation. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It's all about reconciliation. Watch verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Watch verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God Almighty. Well, brothers and sisters, we have a ministry of reconciliation, but our job is to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. When I look at an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I think in terms of what an ambassador is to our society. When a country sends an official to another country, that official becomes an ambassador. When that ambassador goes to that foreign country, he does not take on citizenship of that country. He maintains his citizenship from the country from which he was sent. He is the highest ranking official in that particular country, representing the country from which he was sent. When you think in terms of that ambassador, he's in a place called an embassy. The United States has an embassy. It's the place where people who want to come to America, who want to interact with America, they have to go through the embassy. They have to make appointments with the ambassador. You cannot get to America from another country without going through the embassy, going through the ambassador of that country. Otherwise, if you come in and you haven't cleared through the embassy, stamped from the embassy, you cannot legally enter into the United States of America. That ambassador, that embassy is represented with the flag of the United States of America. and everybody who drives by, they know that that's the embassy of the United States of America. They know if I want to get to America, I got to go through the ambassador. I got to go through the embassy. Why? Because I'm a foreigner and I can't get to that country unless I go through the ambassador and I go through the embassy. Somebody ought to ask me, Brother Gibbs, what are you talking about? I'm an ambassador. You are an ambassador. Our embassy is the Church of Christ. Nobody will get to heaven unless they go by the ambassadors, go by the embassy. If the embassy don't stop it, if they don't come through the church, they cannot get to heaven. Amen, walls, and amen, light. Amen, amen, amen. You want to know what the church is all about? We are God's representatives, official representatives on this earth. And I'm telling you that until we understand what our purpose is and what our responsibility is, we cannot and will not be pleasing in the sight of God. All right, I'm through. May God bless you. May God keep you. I pray that we'll all recognize how important it is, number one, to be the body of Christ, number two, to be the fullness of Christ, and then be the instrument through which the Lord carries out his responsibility in the world. Here's what I know, and that is that a lot of times you and I feel like we're insignificant. We feel like maybe we need to leave that to the preaching. We need to leave that to everybody else. But no. Everybody in the body is a valuable instrument to Christ and the church. I don't care how insignificant you may think you are, because you go places that everybody doesn't go. And the Lord needs you to be an ambassador wherever you go. When you go to the grocery store, be an ambassador. Know that you're in the reconciling business. Know that you're in the business of bringing people back to God. And so when somebody steps in front of you, and you know they had no business breaking line like that and broke in front of you. Thank God they broke in front of an ambassador. Thank God they broke in front of somebody who is a reconciler. Which means that you don't let that flesh come out. Because you know you're in the business of what? Bringing folk what? Back to the Lord. And so what you do is you tell them. Now, you know you broke. That wasn't right for you to break in front of me. But because I'm an ambassador of Jesus, I'm not mad at you. Go on and stay there. Go on and stay there. You can stay there. By the way, I'm a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. Would you come and visit me? Will you be my friend and come?
There you go. There you go.
Now I can act a fool. Yeah, I can forget about who I am and what my job is. And then they find out that I'm a member of that church. And I showed out over there at Walmart, and I showed out over there. They're going to say, what? See, being an ambassador doesn't mean always passing out tracts. Sometimes it means just being an example. I mean, everybody's important. I'm going to share one more thing. How important? I have a lawnmower. I have a riding mower. And the arm that connects the front wheels to the chassis that does the cutting came loose. Well, I couldn't cut. And I looked at that arm, and I said, that arm needs a little old small pin. A little pin. Looked like a hairpin that you put in your, and the only thing it does is goes through that hole and it holds that arm to the chassis that cuts. Now I could have said, that ain't much of nothing. That little old, I took the time, went all the way to Home Depot and found that little old pin. Because that little pen was keeping me from finishing cutting my yard. And when I got that pen, and I got up under there, and I put that, I mean, it was nothing. All I had to do was just put it, line that hole up, and just put that pen in with just a little pressure. And that machine was working like it should then. And I just, what's your point, preacher? Don't ever think that you're not important to the body of Christ. You may feel like you're just a little old pen, but I guarantee you that if you don't function like God asked you to function, the body can't do what it needs to do. So I'm asking you, let's carry out the will of Christ. We're moving into another quarter where we have to see ourselves as the body of Christ. Every member is important, and I pray that you'll come. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water, grave of baptism. Now, what baptism does, it puts you into Christ. It puts you into the body of Christ. You become a member of Christ's body. There, reconciliation takes place. He does not impute sin to you. He does not charge you with sin. But it's through his life that he forgives you of your sin, and he allows you to have full fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful blessing, and it comes through God. I pray that you are desirous of being renewed and being reconciled to God if you're not a Christian. If you have broken fellowship and you're not where you need to be, I'm asking you to rededicate yourself. Reconnect with God. Get that little pin that came loose and put it back where it needs to be and start operating the way God has asked you to do. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
To Jesus for the cleansing power, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour you are in the blood of the Lamb.
Well, are you washed?
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb of the Lamb? Garments spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?